Nice work.
Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad, Home Quarantine Edition. I'm Russian Danny. I'm here with Keith.
Mike.
I'm Keith.
Charlie,
look. The fans are going to be happy that Charlie, that they get to see Charlie's face.
That's right.
Yeah.
Soak it in.
A look into Charlie's world.
James should be printing our t-shirts pretty soon. So we'll have swag for you guys to buy.
Hey, of course, there's a fucking airplane that flies over right when we start fucking recording.
What an episode, Gary.
Gary brought the heat.
Gary brought the heat. She sure did.
Yeah, Gary brought the heat.
Behind the mouse ears from when she worked at the Disneyland hotels.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Disneyland.
Smoking meth at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah.
Like that. That's always that's a good place. Meth goes nice with that. And
is this do I tap out halfway through and Reno comes on?
Yeah. Reno makes a surprise return.
Oh, hell yeah.
Midway through. He goes way back with Gary. So they got
That's right. Reno and the Gare Bear.
Huh. Yeah. They got some OC stories, a lot of punk rock.
The mythical meth that makes you nut.
Yeah.
I seriously, after hearing about that, I was like, you think you got one more run in you? I was on a sick one. And then I was like, no, you'd die. Like, you wouldn't. You don't have a run. You don't have a sprint. You don't have a get up off the couch fast in you at this point.
Dude.
That's it. I get lightheaded. So I was like, no, I can't. But that was incredible when she was talking about that. I was like, fuck me. I never had that. That would have been great. That's like all in one.
I looked for it. I did a lot of meth, and I tried to find that magical nut, and it never happened for me. It never ever happened, and I trust me, I've shot a lot of meth trying to get that one, and I feel like I don't know if the meth's not good enough anymore or what, you know. I think it's just all cut with shit, but
yeah,
I think it's all that that stuff you were doing so much different than it was in the 90s, you know, Danny.
Yeah,
because I don't know what the difference is, but it's definitely because it's made in super labs, so you know what I mean. Yeah. Who knows? It's got to be something
that GMO meth.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a shot now, best case scenario, you might shit your pants. That's what happens.
I have to shit my pants just when the dude says he's coming. You know what I mean? When the connection answers the phone, I got to take a shit.
You guys been keeping it locked down? Everybody cool?
We're on day 14. I've been to the grocery store once in Manhattan Beach.
Nice.
Zoe's been to the grocery store once. I went and got avocados and tangerines for my friend's tree in Orange County today.
Yeah.
That's it, though. We're on day 14 of quarantine.
I felt like I was just, because I just got a little bit, you know, a fella brought some weed over. Thank God for weed delivery right now, because it'd be a lot of people fucking flipping their shit. This is not a time for a regular stoner to be just like, hey, I'm gonna go gold turkey the week the just the month the world decided to end, you know?
Yeah, we're holding up. We got more shit to come. This is gonna be a two-part episode, actually. We couldn't fit it all in.
Oh, nice.
And then we're gonna start doing. We'll just start recording Zoom meetings, I think, for the next episodes. You know?
Yeah, this Zoom's a great app. Thank you, Zoom.
Yeah. Sponsor us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, we really got it. We got to get our Patreon shit together, huh?
Yeah.
We got to get that going. I got to get that going.
We'll get it.
I'll get it.
It's coming.
It's coming.
On their way. We got some shit coming. Oh, some shit's in the pipeline.
Yeah, it is.
Danny talked to another friend of ours in San Diego. We have some stuff lined up for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
I'm stuck.
Nice.
Great.
Well, here's Gary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Let's get into it.
You guys soon.
Yeah. What's up? Welcome back to another episode of It's All Bad. I'm Russian Danny. I'm here with
Mike,
Keith,
and a special guest,
Gary.
What's
up, the Gare Bear from Orange County?
Local legend.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Part-time legend, full-time porn star. Or maybe the other way around. You know, whatever. Apples to apples. Well, thanks for joining us, Gary.
My pleasure.
You and I were kind of talking about, fuck it, let's get into it. I was telling you when I was selling drugs to the Marines at the El Toro Marine Base.
Wait, you sold drugs?
Wait, who are you?
Sorry. Mike gets up and leaves right now.
Huh? Fuck that.
That's where I draw the line. Yeah. And I told you I ended up in those hotels with some of those Marines. And
yeah.
You worked at one of those hotels?
I did. I worked at the Travel Arch right next door to Disneyland Hotel in the mid-90s. It was a job that I eventually got fired from, and it was the one time that I was fired where I didn't deserve it.
Oh, really?
That's how I feel.
Now, were you loaded?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a great job. So the shift was 3 to 11 p.m., and it was front desk at the hotel, so I was in charge of everything, taking the money, working with the people that would sell the tours. And so I would go to work with no money and I would leave with $200 because every time you sold Disneyland tickets or tours of the Stars homes, they would pay you out in cash. And so that was one hustle. And then the other one was if I had spare drugs and if people looked like they were ready to go, I would rent them a hotel room and sell them drugs.
That's amazing.
I was telling Keith, like, this one night, this hot Marine came in and rented a room, and I was like, do you like to party? Because I have those materials. And I ended up staying with him in the room, staying up all night, having sex with him all night. And then he checked out and left. And I was upset because he never asked for my phone number. But lo and behold, I have a long history of being a super stalker. And so this was back in the 90s, pre-computers. So everything was on a little card. And so I would just call that motherfucker every day.
No way.
Hang up on him. Why don't you want to fuck me again? Total nightmare.
Do you remember his name?
Yes. Glenn Gordon Thomas III.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I do remember
the
name.
What was he doing
Glenn
in the Marines?
You know, I know it because I was obsessed with that card. He was good.
Have you looked him up since?
No, I
not
haven't.
Since internet
no.
days.
No, I
Keith's
haven't.
He's doing it now.
Oh, no, he is not.
Let's bring him out.
Oh, no. Then we got to bring out Tim Mello, who was my first, like, real boyfriend. And he broke up with me. He was so mad because I had sex with his best friend and I liked his best friend better. And it was like a weird threesome that went wrong. And he broke up with me. And I threw a brick through his window. Like, how dare you break up with me? You're so mad that I slept with your best friend. His poor mom, like, we're 15. You know, we're 15. He's got to explain why some crazy chick bummed a ride. Throw a brick through his window. He didn't want to fuck me anymore.
That's amazing. Did
Wait. But hold back up. Ahead. How'd you get fired from the Travel Lodge?
Oh, because I didn't lock the safe after doing the drop. And you're supposed to do that. Like, you have to follow all the procedures. Mm. You lock the safe, you know, you put the count or whatever up. And I didn't do it one night. And the next guy, this guy, he took all the money and told me and told them that I did it.
Oh, fuck.
No, I mean, I was a terrible employee, but I didn't steal the money that time.
Yeah.
That time.
What a fucker.
Yeah. And that led, you know, my mom was like, if you want to stay here, you have to have a job. And that was really hard for a crystal meth enthusiast. I prefer that term. Tweaker is such an ugly word.
It really is.
Really is.
Tweaker.
I hate that. Yeah, me too.
And so my next job was at Knott's Berry Farm because I knew they'd hire me right away. And they put me in 20s games in the summer. And it was really, really hot in this thick ass costume. But I learned right off, even though there were two cameras on me, that if I folded up the big money, the bigger denominations of money in my little apron, and if I reached up and stretched, I could drop all this money down my back. And so every day I was leaving with $175. And that was when I could still get a $60 eight ball. So
$60.
Yeah, I had a really nice drug dealer. I'll tell you guys about him.
This is the mid-90s?
Yeah. His name was Todd. He was like the coolest. He never had sex with me.
I always thought he was gay,
but that's just kind of rude.
Yeah.
Because he was a drug dealer that didn't want to have sex with me. He must be gay. No, he was cool as shit. $60 eight balls, which kept everything going for a long, long time. And he's a drug dealer that tried to put me in rehab.
No way.
Wow. He did. He like one of the times I went to jail, I was in LA County Jail. And all of a sudden I have a notification. There's money on my books. And that never happened in the 90s. Right. Nobody ever did anything cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, he put money on my books. So when I got out of jail, I could take the train home.
Oh, that's rad. Todd, did he live in Orange County?
He lived in Orange County. Yeah. He was from Buena Park. I never learned his last name. I've been trying to find him for years.
Right.
He had Christ. The only thing I remember is he had a social distortion tattoo on his right arm. And he was so nice. He's like, you should go to rehab. And I was like, what's rehab? And he's like, it's where you go to get sober. And I was like, what about you, Todd? What about you?
What's the longest you've stayed awake?
8 days.
Oh, that's a good one.
8 days.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, that's a good story. That's a real good story. So it's kind of a long story. Okay.
Yeah.
Leading up to this 8 days. So I was in love with this guy named Dwayne because he'd just gotten out of prison and he was beautiful. And we liked to shoot meth together and we really thought we were Sid and Nancy, like that whole story. Mm. And we got arrested together on Halloween. And we got arrested in Fullerton because he pulled a knife on somebody in the hospital parking lot. And I had warrants. And so we're in two different cop cars and these cop cars are communicating with each other. And so we're screaming at each other through the cop cars. I love you, Dwayne. And you know, he's like, I love you. Wait for me. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like that's always worked in the past. I was never like, what's your phone number? I was like, what's your CDC number? Yeah. You know, always after the prison guys. Anyways, Dwayne was the one. And we got arrested together. And you know how like crystal meth enthusiasts, as soon as they hear you get arrested, they're like locusts.
Yeah.
So it was just we were done. We had nothing. So yeah. He went to prison and I went to jail. And, you know, for years, people were trying to get me sober. And I just thought that was the rudest thing ever. But there was like so many things lining up that became a little harder to ignore. And yeah. So he went to prison. I went to jail. My bunkie in jail, her name was Jamie, and she was so rad. She was telling stories just like this, and she was like, she was a crackhead, right? And she's like, you see this? It was a missing tooth. And she's like, yeah, my boyfriend knocked my tooth out in this motel in Santa Ana, and I put it on the bathroom counter, and this fucking crackhead went in there and tried to smoke my tooth. She was cool as shit. But she was doing time for not paying fines and stuff, so she was sober.
Oh.
And so she was telling me like, yeah, you should probably get sober, because I was in jail and this girl, her name was Lonnie, and her boyfriend was in the same gang my boyfriend was, the Penis. And we didn't know each other, but we both knew each other boyfriend's names or whatever. So she was giving me heroin in jail. So my first time I did heroin was that time in Orange County Jail. And my bunkie was like, you probably have a drug problem. You should maybe think about getting ahead of. And I was like, people keep telling me to get sober. She's like, well, what do you have going on for you? I was like, I know that the second we got arrested, all of our stuff was gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone. We have nothing. I don't have any friends anymore. Like, this dude was everything I had, and he wasn't much. And she's like, there's this place you can go in Santa Ana called Cooper Fellowship, and they'll take you and you can stay there for free. And I was like, okay. And I got out of jail and got high and stayed high for a minute. And I ended up calling that place and I went to Cooper Fellowship and they're like, yeah, you can come here. We'll give you clothes. Like, we'll give you food. We'll take you to meetings. And I was like, okay. I didn't have anything going on, right? I got my first 3 days sober there. And then I had some ex-boyfriend bring me my clothes, man. And in my clothes, there were some drugs and it was on. But I like staying there because I was the prettiest girl in the rehab. And that's not like saying much. You know? I mean, yeah. I was really, really cute. I got away with a lot of shit, but I was the prettiest girl in the rehab. So everybody bought me cigarettes and tacos. And now I'm high in the rehab and I don't want to leave. And so I took my roommate out with me, and she doesn't do speed. She does heroin. I was like, well, I just did heroin for the first time a couple weeks ago. Let's go get some. So I'm in this rehab and I'm shooting heroin with this girl. And I had this dream where I was the Antichrist and I killed Jesus. And I was like, I can't fuck with this heroin shit, man. I like meth. And I bailed. And I have to say, I bailed with a broken foot. I bailed with a cast on with my walker, got on the bus and took a bus to La Habra. And I shot meth for 8 days. And
willing to go to any lengths.
Willing to go to any lengths. Like,
in La Habra.
In La Habra.
I don't even think I've ever been to La Habra.
I went to La Habra
High.
Meth
does not make La Habra better.
No, it doesn't. La Habra High is a really small town. La Habra is a really small town. I went to La Habra High. I knew a lot of people there. I hadn't burnt every bridge. And I still had one friend that would get me loaded. And we had a lot of weird adventures together. And I stayed up for 8 days. And I slept on her couch for two. And when I woke up, I heard a voice in my head that says, you know where to go. And that day I had a dollar left in my purse and I took the bus back to Cooper Fellowship. And I went to that meeting that night. That was Friday the 13th of 1998 of February. And then the next day was Valentine's Day. And I had that sobriety date for 10 years.
Wow.
So
no shit.
Yeah. 8 days, slept for two, woke up, stole her mom's drugs, did those, and then got sober.
8 days up.
Yeah.
It's kind
of weird. We were in the garage almost the whole time. Like at one point she had to like go because she had a kid, you know, she had to like show up at least once a week or something for a kid. Like it's that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, we don't think anything's bad, but she left me alone in the garage for a long time.
Oh, fuck.
And I found a power drill and a bunch of screws. And there was like all this fabric from one of our dumpster diving things. And I covered everything in that garage with fabric. All the walls. I climbed up on the roof and I was putting like chintz furniture using screws to like lay down, make it pretty. Oh, it's so weird. All the stuff we do in these little caves that we built, you know?
I've done a lot of that stuff. A lot of that stuff. Oh, man. It's crazy how after like, when you do one of those, like, cause I, leading up to, you know, the day that I have today, I think I wasn't 8 days, but it was like maybe like 6 or 7. And I knew I was going into a place and I knew that they were like coming at a certain time. And yeah, it was, I mean, I would like, I went and I said goodbye to all my drug dealers. I was like, you know, like I hit them up and I was like, hey guys, I'm going into rehab, you know, like I'm doing it. And
we all heard that one before.
And I was like, hey. But I need you to do me a solid, like, I need you to front me, you know? And they were like, fuck it, whatever. Yeah, here, just leave us alone. At this point, it was like, just leave us alone. And, like, dudes I had robbed and dudes I'd owed money to, I was just like, fuck it. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? They could say no. And every single person I knew, like, fronted me, you know? They're like, oh, here's some meth. Here's some dope, you know? Oh, here, I got this GHB. It glows in the dark. Take this, you know? And, like, at the end of this, you know, I think it was, like, a six-day run for me. Maybe right around six. And I remember that I knew that, like, my friend was coming to pick me up from the house I was staying in to take me to rehab. And I was like, I got to make sure it's really clean before he gets here, you know? Because that's what I didn't pack anything. I packed a bag with, like, three mismatching socks, one clean pair of boxers, one not-so-clean pair of boxers, like, a T-shirt and a G.G. Allen leather jacket, like, with a G.G. Allen back patch on. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to start this next chapter of my life, this journey, you know? And they took me into the place, and I got in there, and I just remember, like, as we're pulling up to the place, I was like, wait, I got one shot of meth left. And my friend that had, like, 9 months at the time was like, well, fuck are you doing? Do it. You know, like, what, you know? So we pull up in the driveway. I do the shot of meth. And I remember, and I, for some reason in my bag, I packed the GHB. I had the glow in the dark GHB that, like, you put
is
under
a. Is that a thing?
I get now, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that. Well, that's a marketing right there. Yeah.
Well, because it's like a, you know, it's like a party fucking.
And you can find it.
Yeah. You can always find it. Yeah. Put on a black light and bam, there's my GHB. And I drank like a cap full of it. And I went in and I mean, I was told this later on, you know, like, so they were like having me fill out the intake paperwork. And I'm just like, you know, and I remember going to sign it and the nurse would be like, hey. And I like kind of come and she's like, you drooled. And it wasn't like a computer. Like you had to sign it by hand. You know, she's like, you fucking drooled on the thing again. And she would print it out and then it would be like, all right, just sign here. Like you could sign the rest of it later. And I'd go to sign it and I would nod out and drool on the fucking thing again. And then she'd be like, all right, you know what? Here, just like put a, like, just put a line here, whatever, you know. And I did that. I went into the detox, woke up 3 days later. Like, I remember waking up and being like, oh, when do I get my meds? They were like, dude, you've been here for 72 hours. You got here Wednesday and it's fucking Saturday. Like, we thought you were dead, you know. There was like a they had ice cream sandwiches there, and I just had like wrappers fucking stuck to my head.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
I have questions.
Yeah.
How, just unpacking, how do you get drug dealers to front you drugs?
Yeah.
I haven't had anybody front me since the 80s.
Well, I was like the, you know, I mean, I sold a lot of drugs. Okay. And then, but I also was like, I really took pride in being like a really good middleman, you know, where I knew people that had a lot of money that needed drugs, and I knew people that had really good drugs. So I would always just make sure, and I would always keep them at an arm's length, you know, or like, you don't come around this corner, you know, and then I'm going to go and make sure to get them whatever. So they liked me, you know. It was like good for, even though I would probably rip them off every here and there, and I would like get dope from them and step on it before I would sell it to the person and whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. There was still like, you know, when you weigh the options, you're like, well, fuck, you know, like I could cut this guy off and then lose all of this business, or I could keep fucking with him and he's gonna pinch my fucking sacks when I'm not looking. He's gonna probably pocket whatever's on the table, you know. But it was still worth it to him. Hmm. And I've been sober ever since, which is crazy.
How long's that been?
4.5 years.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice. How long you been sober, Gary?
This time 7.5 years.
Nice. The longest I've ever been up was 8 days, but I remember like, it wasn't even on the eighth day, but like the fifth day. I've talked about it before. It's like the only time I've ever done that shit where it made me peek out windows, because I snorted it and did hot rolls. I didn't smoke it. I didn't shoot it. I wasn't real paranoid. But this one, you know, like with the pH levels off of it, you know, you never know what the effects are going to be. And this guy, Bob, made it. I show up at my friend Joel's house, and I'm like, I walk in the fucking pad, you know. It was like it was in his room. I shouldn't say his pad, it's his mom's apartment, and he lives in a room. But I walk in there, and it's like there's Joel, this guy Juan, and this other guy Floos, and they're sitting there and they're eating. Not Floos, Joel, Juan, who the fuck was the other person? Kent, I don't remember who it was, but
I like Floos. Let's just say it was
Floos. Is another friend of ours.
Floos was just an incredible fucking name.
But they're all like eating half gallons of ice cream, but there's just a weird sex feeling in the room. And I'm like, and I look at Juan.
There's always a weird sex feeling in the room.
Yeah,
and Juan's sex is about to happen at any time.
Yeah.
And surprise!
Like, but they're just sitting there like watching like literally like Canon reruns or Hawaii 5-0 or something like that, eating ice cream. I'm like, fuck, this don't feel right. You know what I mean? And Juan's whole face is white. And Juan's kind of dark. He's like Guatemalan, but his whole face is white. And I'm like, the fuck is on your face? And he's like, it's cum. And I'm like, what? He's like, it's cum. My skin is, you know, my skin's breaking out. And I go, wait, what? You know, I'm like, what? I just turned around, fucking bolted. I'm like, fuck this. You know what I mean? I got the fuck out of it. I'm like, no, because like the whole thing, like, it just smelled like sex in the room. It's three dudes and they're eating ice cream. No. And I'm not talking like bowls. They're not sharing. Each two of them had pints, but Joel had a whole half gallon, or the big round thing.
Yeah,
the big one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they're eating it right. I
like
think
the plastic.
Was Joel a Breyers man? They usually come. You get more of that.
That's post-coital ice cream.
Yeah. But I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? That's cum. Like his whole face was white, like a clown. And apparently, I didn't ask whose cum it was or anything like that, but it was fucked up. And I got out of there, and I was at my other friend's house, and then it turned into one of those. Like I thought it was. I think I thought it was Friday and it was Tuesday. I just lost those days. Mm. And I was so bummed because I was trying to go to the Long Beach bicycle swap meet, like the vintage bicycle, because I bought some fucking bike that wasn't even like not a common bike. It was like a J.C. Higgins cruiser. But, and it, you know, they had the tanks that went on them, you know, like the Pee Wee Herman bike. But I literally truly like I went to somewhere and I had one side of it and I needed to find the bike is from the 40s. And I'm like, oh, I'll find it. No problem. I mean, it's a fucking rare bike. You know what I mean? It's like the Schwinn, possibly. Yeah. Not likely then. But a J.C. Higgins fucking tank, you're not going to. But that's all I could think about. I'm like, I lost 4 fucking days and missed the whole, you know, swap meets the whole weekend. Like, well, Saturday and Sunday. I missed the whole fucking thing. There's no great moral to the story. Outside of the cum face thing.
Cum face. What happened with the bike?
I mean, nothing. I had to fucking just, there's a guy who sold old Schwinn's in Covina, and I would go there, and I had to wait till the next one after a prison term. That was a while before I got there. Mm. I never found it, but I looked for it and bought other tanks. Didn't fit.
Try to fit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course, yeah. Oh, I'll make it work.
I'm a machinist.
Yeah.
You're talking about the pH, and everybody has a different experience with meth.
Right.
And what it does to their body. And that time that I was telling you about, I was up for 8 days. I've never hallucinated. Like, I understand that there are ninja cops and they're real, but I've never seen one. Mm. And that house that we were at in La Habra was directly across the street from the police station.
Oh, fuck.
And we were stoked because we know where the cops are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't looking at the house across the street.
Yeah.
We just convinced ourselves, like, this whole time, ever since I was a kid and until now, till today, I've always had this overconfident kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not always worked out.
Yeah.
But that time we weren't scared. There's the cops. Got it.
It's funny, like that the run I'm talking about, like downtown Covina is pretty small. It's smaller than downtown Fullerton, but it's not like we were right by the cop station, but we're definitely like probably two of my friends had apartments that were maybe four blocks down, but on the same street, you know, the exit of like the front of the cop station is on Citrus. So the back is on Second, I think it is. And my friend Anthony lived on Second. And my friend Scott lived across the street. Dude, the back is where they bring the cop cars in to fuel them up and shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this friend of ours, George, who like he lives in Huntington Beach now. But George is like, and George is like from a rich family. He's the most together. I think I've talked about him before. The guy used to hallucinate and think he saw clowns and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that dude.
So George is like driving with our, I hope I didn't fucking tell this already. George is driving with our friend Jason. He's driving his dad's car. His dad's a high power lawyer. But George is driving his dad's car. And we've grown up there. He's driven by this a million times, but they're on LSD. And he sees the dudes, like the trustees are out there in the jumpsuits. And he's just told Jason, he's like, dude, I got to do something for my dad for Father's Day. I'm going to get this car detailed or get an oil change. And he starts turning into the, there's no auto shops. It's the back of the police station. And Jason's like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? And he goes, oh, dude, I'm just going to get the oil change. He's like, the fucking police station. And George, no, it's not. Look, it's the fucking Jiffy. And he goes, and Jason fucking like opened the door and rolled out of the car. And George pulled right in the back. And the cops came and took him right in.
For sure. For sure. Never had any of this nonsense.
Fuck.
And down the street from
you,
that.
You have not told this story before. No, it's so good.
Dude, George is the fucking one of a kind. But the other, fuck, that hurt. The other, so Anthony, I think I told you this. Like, we were talking recently. Because those dudes were all into like dildos and all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. But so our friend's dad was really into speed too. He's like kind of a bikery type dude. And Anthony was telling me a story like not too long ago. This ties into the same dude, Joel, who was eating the ice cream. But Anthony's like, he goes, hey, do you remember that? He goes, you remember that dildo I had, Thor? And I go, what?
Named it?
Yeah. And he goes, that big dildo I had, Thor. Remember that thing? And I'm like, no, why would I fucking know? You know what I mean? And he goes, you remember it? He goes, I got it from Joel Clark. He goes, it was in that briefcase of dildos I sold Dave. And I go, hold on a minute. Not only are you telling me that you sold our friend's father a briefcase full of used dildos, but Thor apparently... Like, he's the CarMax of dildos. Because Thor, you got from our other friend, the ice cream dude, and I told you what's going on there. Yeah. So it's not like an unused dildo.
It's a glazy time over at the ice cream house.
But I'm like,
God damn it. Maybe it was Magic Shell.
But I'm
it's
like,
only weird if you're not into it.
For ice cream. Yeah.
True. Did you like dildos,
Gary?
I did. I liked dildos. I know why.
Did you like
Everything's
dildos?
Everything's a dildo if you're brave enough. So as we've already established, I was a crystal meth enthusiast from the age of 12 till almost 25 years old. And
12?
Yeah, 12. And
got in.
We got into some weird shit. And, you know, that stuff just sometimes when you do it, you just come right there. But... right there on the spot. But
wait, so you have done the meth that makes you come?
Yes.
Wait, literally you do it and it makes you come? I've heard of that. What? When you shoot it.
Okay. Wait, because we had somebody who came on that was talking about that.
Lawrence,
that's what
lady?
You
no one let me know that this was available.
No, that's the thing.
Okay,
no,
ready for this story.
You missed
okay.
it.
Yeah.
What Keith wanted to
you
know
were scared
about
of needles, motherfucker. That's I your was. Loss. Yeah, that's what you
I asked Keith, has anybody ever talked about homemade dildos before? And I used to make my own dildos. I would use modeling clay over the, usually when you got a block of knives, it would come with a knife sharpener, which was a big wooden handle with a metal stick.
Yeah.
So I would fashion my own exactly how I wanted it to be and then cover it with a condom and go to town on myself. It was great. It had a handle. It was longer. It hit all the edges. But what I didn't think about is when my stepdad's got a gun on me and he kicks me out of the house and my mom's got to clean up my homemade dildos and throw them away and then tell me about it years later.
How many of them did you have?
Two.
Wow. How big were they?
You couldn't have been
normal
size.
What would you fashion around?
I'm not a size queen.
And you couldn't have been like, that was a weapon or anything, you know?
No.
Because you don't put a condom on like a beaten stick, you know?
What would you fashion around? I know what you're talking about. You're talking about modeling clay, like the honing thing? The thing where you put the
And
so what would
you
fashion?
Would put modeling clay at the tip of it, just about yay big.
Oh,
and then
just to there.
And mold it.
Yeah,
and then cover that with a condom because it was clean and it was the right, you know,
girth.
Right girth.
What kind of modeling clay did you use?
Was purple. It just,
no, but I mean, was it a Play-Doh situation?
Not
or was
Play-Doh.
It more of
no,
like
modeling.
A professional, like
modeling
a
clay.
Scene.
Modeling clay.
Modeling.
Yeah, modeling clay.
Yeah.
The kind that never dries out.
Modeling clay, you idiot.
It doesn't.
I don't know what Mike's over here like, oh, purple
modeling.
You
don't know anything about modeling.
Mike's like, can I have the dildo recipe, please?
No, I'm
not
just curious.
Sculpey.
I want the
Sculpey
details.
You have to bake. This is just basic kids modeling clay.
Yeah. It's like
for
gray.
Children.
There
grayish
you go.
Brown.
Would it, would it harden?
No. Because it's modeling clay. Plus, it had a condom around it.
Yeah.
But it never got washed. So you just put another condom on it. But you asked
and thus
about
the oceans are filled with plastic.
You asked about the meth that makes you cum. See, I didn't know that all meth didn't make you cum. So there was this night, this weekend, actually. It was a whole weekend where so much shit went down. So it was pretty weird. Okay. So my best friend that I did a lot of my running with, she fucked my boyfriend. And so to make it right, I had to fuck her boyfriend. And they were both named Steve. So that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they cancel each other out.
They do. And Steve was down. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to fuck Steve, but you got to get us a room at the Heritage Inn because that's the nice hotel. And he's got to have, I want the nice room with the jacuzzi tub. And he always had dope. So I take this chick over there with me and we decide we're going to put on a show. So I got my best girlfriend. We'll call her Shmuley, not the Shmuley, you know.
Yeah.
And this young chick, her name was Nicole. She was 18. And I'm telling this guy, Steve, because he just smoked it. I'm like, when you shoot this shit, you come right in your pants. And he didn't believe me. And I was like, watch this. So I take Nicole over to Target across the street and get a brand new pair of panties. And I shoot her up for the first time. And I pull off her underwear and I show him. There it is. She came right then.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, we're going full-blown experiment now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Science project.
In regards to my story, a lot of sex was transactional. So I had the sex with Steve. We kick him out. And me, Shmuley, and Nicole laid out one of the sheets off the bed. We covered each other with chocolate syrup. And we had a really, really wonderful evening. Chocolate syrup gets sticky really fast, painfully fast. And none of us are lesbians. So we're just horny and doing our best. Okay? We're just doing our best. We've got a lot of drugs. We've got a really nice hotel room. And we had a really good time. Sans Steve.
Bye, Steve. We're done.
The transaction is complete. You can leave.
Literally, just the three of you got busy.
Yeah, the three of us got busy.
Did you guys have dildos and stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
It's like my greatest regret. I've had sex with 9 women and not one of them was a lesbian. When my husband dies. Oh, man. When my husband dies. Yeah. I have a list. Sit down, sir. So guess what? Okay, so Nicole leaves eventually, and I'm running around this hotel that we used to stay at all the time, this Heritage Inn in La Habra on Imperial Highway, Imperial and Harbor.
Yeah.
The place was nice, right? It was really nice. And I'm running around just doing tweaky weird shit. And I see that there's this little door next to the elevator that's slightly open. And I go and explore that with my little flashlight, my little mag light. that and a roll of duct tape, man, yeah. everywhere I went. Why did the tweaker cross the road?
Why?
Because he was duct taped to a chicken. Yeah. This little door next to the elevator was the secret closet where they hid all the luggage of people that have left it behind at that
no.
hotel.
No way.
Oh my God. Gold mine.
Gold mine.
Gold mine. So
that's the greatest. I can't even
remember. That's magic. I feel
just thinking about it, my heart is racing. I feel like I have to poop. I'm just like so excited. So I'm down in there. And my buddy Julius Schmuley is paging me like crazy, like you've been gone 2 hours. And so I go back up to the room and I'm like, we at the gold mine. And I just come up with all these bags. I'm going in trips, bringing all this luggage back to our hotel room.
No.
And we're going through it and we're just in it. We were so in it. It was just like the best. So then we took what we wanted and we put the what we wanted to keep out of all these suitcases when we finally checked out 2 days later. And we're taking trips to her car, filling up her car with all these suitcases. And Julie, she actually went to jail for that.
Really?
She did. I stayed under the radar away from the security cameras, but she just like walked out or got a luggage cart or something and went out the front door. And like she took more all at once. I took little sneaky trips.
Yeah.
And she ended up going to I had gone to jail for her, though, when I was a teenager.
Oh,
we used to break into cars. So because I was underage, she was 3 years older than me and I was underage. So I went to juvenile hall and took the fall for that. And so she ended up like, yeah, we fucked each other's boyfriends. We went to jail for each other.
Is she from La Habra as well?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, she lives up in Oregon.
Is that
now.
Where you grew up, La Habra?
I grew up everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been all over.
Single parent home?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag me too.
Same. Yeah. Samesies.
Yeah, we moved around a lot and I learned how to make friends.
I was trying to explain it. How would you explain that restaurant section next to Disneyland, you know, when we were young, in the 90s? It was fucking wild, right?
The forest, whatever. The
There's a string of them.
There was weird. So
the
many
Rainforest
weird...
Cafe.
Back in the day, all the motels around Disneyland were
fucked up.
They were junky villages. And working there, you would get a fax every day about the local crime, and it was always some kid getting diddled in the jacuzzi and somebody got took, you know. It was just bad. And I mean, I know the podcast is It's All Bad, but it wasn't all bad. And I kind of kept it kind of small, really. I never did anything big time. Like the biggest score I ever did was for $600, you know. Like,
yeah,
I never
Oh, believe me.
Never got my hands on anything.
None of us sitting here got rich.
Well, it's hard not to compare.
Mike traded his penny loafers for fucking $10 worth of speed.
Yeah, exactly.
I used to say sleep is for the weak and work is for the unimaginative. Yeah. And as it turns out, working is easier.
Yeah.
Regular life is easier.
Regular life. I mean, even that job at Knott's Berry Farm, I was kind of, you know, $175 to over $200 a day, and I still like quit for no reason, no good reason.
How much?
I was stealing like $175, right. $200 a day, plus, you know, minimum wage, plus getting to see bands like Sublime and No Doubt play there, and the Aquabats and stuff.
They play
used
where?
At Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh,
they used
yeah.
to have Ska Night every Saturday night.
Oh, really?
And all those bands that became huge used to yeah. play there.
Oh, wow.
Say Ferris would play there. So I got to see shows for free. I got to wear a stupid costume.
What was the costume?
It was 20s games. So I had to wear this ridiculous.
Like 1920s
yeah.
dress.
Yeah.
What's that mean, 20s games?
The 1920s. It was that section of Knott's Berry Farm that's all, you know, flappers and shit. And so they had us dressed like newsboys. And what I got all uppity about was I got heat stroke because I had been up for days and I went to work and it was super hot and they wouldn't give me a break. I kept calling, like, I need a drink of water. They don't let you leave or drink any water in front of the guests. I pass the fuck out, man. They had to come put me on the little cart and take me to the nurse, you know. And but they didn't know that, like, you know, I'm just doing a bunch of speed and standing out in the sun's not a good idea.
No.
Yeah, fuck.
And so I got there, I got mad and I didn't go back to work. And so, yeah, eventually got kicked out of my house, you know, because that was the deal. If you have a job, you can live here.
Right.
But I couldn't keep it together for long.
Yeah. I could never keep a job on meth. I don't think I ever even tried. You know, I was like, fuck it. Like when the meth came in the picture, I'd just be like,
oh, I could start off. And that's how like I got involved in sex work.
Oh no, wait, you know what? No, that's a lie.
Because I could get through an audition and get some money out of the audition and then never have to go back. Mm.
Wait, what?
Yeah. If you would audition. Bullshit. You get $75 and then you're like, and then they're like, okay, you can start tomorrow, and I'm like, tomorrow's never coming. I mean, I had every intention.
That's amazing.
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna strip at this club and I'm gonna freaking work for Dunright Exotic House Cleaning Service. Basically, if you just show up to the audition and blow the owner, you get $75 and you go home.
Is that true?
Yeah, because the owners aren't gross, at least my experience. The ones that I had to do,
I've only had one job that I maintained on meth, and that was my first job when I was 16. I worked at City Walk, but before it was like cool City Walk. I don't know if you could call it cool now, but you know, when it was like kind of sketchy at night, you know, and I worked at
right outside Universal Amphitheater.
Yeah, and which isn't there anymore, right? The amphitheater is gone.
No,
it was
gone.
Outside. Yeah. Yeah. It was outside Universal Studios.
That's where
Studios.
That Harry Potter land is or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
Have you had the butter beer?
It's so good.
It's so good.
It is?
It is. Yeah, it's like butterscotch.
Yeah.
It's liquid. It's like frozen.
It's like a butterscotch Slurpee.
You get it hot, too.
What? I don't know.
Hot butterscotch.
Hot butter beer. So my first job was I worked at one of the little carts that they have when you're on your way into Universal Studios, like by where the fountains that fucking spray up and shit are. And I sold puka shell necklaces and mood rings. And I was like 15 or 16, and my mom's friend owned the cart. And my mom was like, here, this will be a good summer job.
How much money did
you
steal?
Nothing from my cart, but so then I met a friend that was like another graffiti dude, and he sold the star lamps. Have I told this before? No, yeah, he sold the star lamps, and we would push our carts together, and we weren't shooting or smoking meth, we were snorting it. We'd put our carts together, and we would just start snorting fucking lines, and then we like wouldn't
out
know what to
open?
Do with ourselves.
You guys are touching tips,
yeah, oh yeah,
on that fucking walkway.
Yes,
no way.
Yes, we would put our carts together, sit down behind it, and do meth, and then would stand around like fucking weirdos. And oh shit.
Yeah.
Look what the cat dragged in. Oh
boy.
Hell no.
So get the butter.
Hell no. Yeah, get that butter beer, baby.
We're so stupid. We do anything for money. We used to go door to door collecting money for the City of Hope.
No way.
I was a kid, man. I was 12 years old and my friends were older. We were doing all this coke. It was a good coke too. Back in the 80s, I ether-based coke. And she's like, check it out. You got to go door to door and ask for money for the City of Hope. And if somebody gives you a check, just throw it away.
No way. Fuck.
That's what we did. Fuck. We were young and we needed money. Because we didn't know how to have sex yet.
What? Have you ever smoked PCP,
Jerry?
Just once on accident. It got slipped to me when I was living in Williamsburg, Virginia. That's all they had as far as drugs wise back then in 95.
How was
weed. It?
It
was terrible. I had to climb 3 flights of stairs. And then I realized when I tried to walk up the stairs, that wasn't weed. And I had to crawl up on my knees 3
that
flights
moment.
Of stairs into my dad's house, who I barely knew, and try to get the key in the door and then crawl into my bedroom. And the next morning, I used to try to like just masturbate to sleep, like whenever I did too much coke or whatever, right? And I couldn't feel anything. And so I just had to stay up all night and stare at the ceiling and deal with my dad making me pancakes for breakfast in the morning, high on PCP, and then go to work at the Holiday Inn 1776 Conference Resort in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Oh, fuck.
Or my other job is activities director, fucking raging alcoholic, because they didn't have any drugs. So I just like drank like nonstop. And I had to do activities with these old people and these young people.
Way.
Yeah, I had to read stories and do tote bag making class. And I could do whatever. Like, I'm overconfident.
Fuck, I was kind of. You did a fairly good job. You were able to hold jobs out. Like, you just remind me, I got out of prison one time and I just went to my friend's kid's wedding last weekend. But I got out of prison in 95. My friend Kenny, he's a great dude. And he's like, he's trying to help me out. And he's, so I'm staying in his house. And my other friend Kyle's dad, you know, they're kind of wealthy. But Kyle's dad was like, I can give Keith a job at the factory. I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll go work at the factory, right? Dude, it's in El Monte. I go, or Baldwin Park or El Monte. We go to this place. And dude, it's a place, you know, when you lay carpet, you know the carpet tack shit that's mounted to the floor? It's making those. And dude, it's I'm the only one who speaks English. There's like fucking 50 of us there. And they're like, where dude, I was there one night. I think it paid like whatever minimum wage was, $5.25 an hour or whatever. I mean, I'm just sitting there. I mean, I can't, my hands were so butchered, and I'm just like, I gotta get some crank. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to stay out that bad. But like what Danny was like, I'm with you because like what Danny was saying about getting all this shit fronted, fucking, I didn't have no. I mean, I get busted, and I liked it because you get a clean slate with everybody you owed money. Mm-hmm. There's this weird thing.
It is a weird, yeah. And you get extra drugs when you get. I just got out of jail.
Yeah,
you get extra drugs. It's like a back I know, to one I feel thing. That. Yeah, I feel that.
That fuck, man. I like. I man, I was thinking. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I remember these like. Scummy motherfuckers that lived in Diamond Bar, you know? The girl wasn't that bad. It was her boyfriend who was a real fucking scumbag. So she, you know what I mean? Kind of like went along with him. But they'd be, bye, Danny.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
Reno's taking over. I'm sure y'all motherfuckers will be able to distinguish the difference between our voices.
Danny's going to leave and Reno's going to slip it in.
Hey, Reno.
Take care of business. Oh,
yeah. My name is Gary.
Gary? Miss Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss Gary.
Oh, the illustrious Miss Gary. Dude, I've known Miss Gary for.
Miss Gary.
Oh, excuse me. Bleep. We'll bleep that out. I should have been smart like that because this fucking podcast is traveling, dude.
It's fine. We're all different people.
We all could have been smarter, man.
It wouldn't be the stupidest decision I ever made. My wife's best friend in New Zealand.
No.
I swear to fucking God, I'm going to read the text on air right now.
Read it.
Okay, hold on. She said, damn it, where is it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Oh, yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
No, I like that vape situation. By the way, just real quick, that's intensified.
She's used to that position, Gary.
Gary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look, the wee hands that working.
Hey, that ain't nice. The first battery powered tube she's putting out.
Blow sick clouds, yo.
Why can't there be always sick clouds? I like them. I'm a big fan.
Life is.
I
just
quit smoking analog cigarettes like 7 years ago.
These little weed vapes they give thing. You.
What was that, guys?
You can't really. There's no point in doing that if there's weed in there. I don't think because it just blows it into a big thing.
Oh right.
You want to suck on my thing and taste my juice?
Look at that little.
Come
hand.
On, Mike.
I
suck on my thing and taste my
little,
juice.
That little finger there. You know what? I better not.
Yeah, he'll have a coughing fit if you're not used to those fucking.
No,
things.
I'll fucking be. Yeah, so exactly. Next thing you know,
it's okay.
We're
I can
like,
save your life.
Read the text. Hold on.
Wait, Miss Gary, what's that guy's name from the 5:30 that used to say it's 4:49 p.m. I haven't free base.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah,
Paul.
I haven't free base nicotine since. Da, 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 da. I don't want one. Yeah, I used to do this whole thing.
Still does.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually see him up here from time to time at like random meetings. Okay, so this is from one of Dee's best friends in New Zealand. Oh my God. And she's very conservative, right? The podcast that Reno is on, exclamation point. I saw his post of being on a podcast and I was so excited. Love a new podcast. Next bubble. Well, dot, dot, dot. My vanilla life is shocked to the core.
No way.
Yeah. But I'm now an addict myself to It's All Bad.
Oh, right.
Oh, nice.
You can let them know that the new NZ listener following they have is due to me and me mates.
Oh,
so
that's
we got
great.
Fans down in New Zealand. That's incredible, right?
Dude, that's so rad.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm so past the hangups about it because it's like, the amount of messages that we get about helping people is fucking baffling. I mean, we've got several where people are like, man, I felt like fucking killing myself and you guys got me laughing again because like, they got the bug. You know what I mean?
It's like, funny how like listening to a podcast, it really takes you out of your head, takes you out of your, you know what I mean? And especially if it's like some content that you're like kind of like jiving with, but just, you know, cause you'll put music on and you'll just go deeper into your fucking head. And you're like, next thing you know, you're listening to Savage Garden and you're.
Oh, God. No, nothing like a little, just like, I feel a little low, but
little Pink Floyd. And
you know,
cool.
But you listen to a podcast and I don't know, especially if it's on the topic of, you but have, anyway,
I can't.
I have known you for a very, very, very long time.
What do you know about me?
I remember pulling up to the Newport Club when I first got sober for like real, 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 when I was looking at some serious prison time and got a joint suspended sentence.
Wasn't it for like fucking 12? It was ridiculous.
It was a 6-year joint suspended.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
You must have really been a fucking idiot.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot.
Absolutely.
6-year joint suspended.
Absolutely. Well, it was 3 years with half or try rehab and recovery one more time.
Yeah.
And if you fuck up, do 6. I was like, I think I got it. I think I could do this one. But I pulled up at the Newport Club and you were like the clique. It was like you and Shua and like all your girls and everybody was sleeved down.
Several deep
up.
With the clique.
For real. For real. Like all the punks, you know, Gabby. And,
Gabby.
Yeah. And I remember that. Yeah, it was super vivid. But I got down there and I'm like, well, if I'm going to get laid here, it looks like I got to get sleeved down and buy a tryout.
Well, Keith was asking me about you. He's like, you know him. I'm like, I don't know him that well because he's never fucked me. He never fucked any of my friends. And he doesn't have a bad reputation.
Yeah.
And I do remember being at your 1-year watch at Norm's.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
It was your 1-year birthday or your 1-year watch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It was a big, big night.
It's funny because that was where you told the story about Gabby and the cat under the car.
Oh, my God. Gabby and the cat. That's my favorite. Get out of here, cat. You're going to get me busted.
Yeah, dude, Gabby was shooting coke like all night and like crawled up under this car in Santa Ana.
It was actually in Costa Mesa.
Okay.
And it was Steve's house being raided.
Steve.
Stearns.
Oh.
And, all of our friends were inside. They were still getting loaded. And Gabby was hiding under a truck with a gun in his hand while the house is getting raided. So he was really, really skinny. So he,
Gabby was a big
God
boy.
Rest his soul, Mike Gaborno, dear old friend.
Dude.
He was a good, good man.
Yeah, he was a good dude.
And this cat comes up to him underneath the truck. And he wasn't shooting coke. He was shooting speed.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, get out of here, cat. You're going to get me busted.
No way.
So he pointed the gun at the cat. Okay, fine. The house gets raided. Gabby leaves. And he ends up shooting himself in the foot.
Oh,
literally,
shit.
He shot himself in the foot and showed up next door at Janie's house. Janie Hill, God rest her soul, too.
I don't remember Janie.
Like, I got a fucking bloody foot here. Take me in, you know. Janie lived with Roger Ramjet. I live next door with Skipper. And that's how that shit went down. And then Gabby caught a bunch of charges and they put him on 24-hour lockdown. And we would write each other letters every single day.
Oh, wow.
And that's how my friendship with Gabby really grew. He's like, oh, this bitch writes letters. She knows. And I was like, and that's how we became friends. And
he
was such a good man. He later on when he got out and he got sober.
Yeah.
He said, I'm playing the show. We're opening up for Social Distortion and I want you to sing with me. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What? But there's my confidence again. I'm like, okay. And Linda made me a dress. And
no
I
way.
Bought myself a cowboy hat. And I sang in front of 10,000 people. Showed the whole crowd my titties. Which Kurt Bingham, this roadie guy, he's like, I took my nephew to that show. Your titties were the first titties he ever saw. And they're still the biggest titties he ever saw.
I
had to do a little icebreaker. I had never sang for that many people before in my life.
Yeah.
And Spanky, he's dead too. He didn't want me to do it. But everybody else in Cadillac Tramps was like, fuck yeah, Mary, she's cool. Like,
yeah.
And they just made my dreams come true.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
I didn't even know it was a dream of mine to sing in front of that many people or show them my titties. But
was that at the
Hootenanny?
Hootenanny, yeah.
Hootenanny, 2001.
Do they still do that?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I used to go
it
and
was
say,
raging,
"Hey,
though, yeah.
Can you tell that girl with the Betty Page bangs I'm looking for her?"
Hey, stupid. Gary. I'm just talking about homemade dildos. Have you ever made a homemade dildo?
I always got to think about that sexual shit. <'cause> I've gone down the rabbit hole like deep. You know, I don't. I think I've definitely grabbed things in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
But like actually making and shaping and sanding and defting like a fucking homemade dildo.
It's
no.
Not that hard.
Yeah. No.
Gary did.
I made one out of clay.
Gary did.
Dildo, dildo, dildo. I made it out of clay. I can say that because I'm half Jewish.
Oh, is that the dreidel song? love it. That's funny. Well, did you already give all the details of the homemade dildo?
Yeah,
or no?
Yeah. We're past that. Okay. We've already unpacked the dildos.
Unpacked. I love that. Unpacked the dildo.
Everybody's got a dildo. It's not gonna a recent one. So we moved into our new place, and the neighbors upstairs, they suspected the neighbors had bed bugs, right? So they had to come search our house and make sure we didn't have them too, the downstairs. And I get a text from my husband. I'm at work, and he's like, "Well, the bug people are here, and they found your didlo." he calls it didlo, D-I-D-L-O, and I think it's the cutest thing ever. They found your didlo, and because it was on the side of the bed, and I'm like, "Tell them it's yours."
Tell them it's yours, Greg,
because it's pink. It's nice, expensive.
Those fucking things are expensive.
That's sobriety, man. Yeah. That's sobriety. Like, you don't stay in motels anymore. You stay in hotels and you don't have to make your own dildos. You can just go to the store and buy the good one.
Totally. You know what I mean? Like, definitely.
All my tattoos are finished.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and
it's
done in a tattoo
like,
shop and not in a garage by a guy named Casper.
Yeah. And you don't have to watch like DVD porns like that you got on trade from some fucking biker. You know?
I never had access to good porn. Like, I had the porn that my stepdad was into. Now let me tell you about my stepdad. He was a Hessian.
Oh shit.
Motorcycle gang.
Oh yeah.
So the porn that he had was not from any recent decade. None.
That's so crazy. It wasn't anything I was interested in either. Have like crazy amounts of vintage porn at those biker houses.
Vintage. Like,
so crazy.
The lady gardens were very large.
Yeah, for sure. Then there'll be like some Swedish erotica magazine. You're like, holy shit, that's full penetration.
Dude, me and my friend Scott, we're all spacking along speed. He goes, "Let's go see my Uncle Tony, who lived at Lake LA." You know where that is? Up by Lancaster. It's the high desert. It's basically like Lancaster and Palmdale. It's called.
It's like some big man-made mud hole up there,
something,
right?
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just
ain't
high
nothing
on
good
speed.
Happening out in the high desert.
No, fuck no. Never. I've been up there a couple times.
And we drive out there, and Tony's like a dude who looks like fucking Grizzly Adams. And we get there and shit. We're just hanging out with him and shit. You know, it's my buddy's uncle and shit. And he's like, "Yeah." And so we're all doing speed together. And all of a sudden, he's all, "Check this out." And he puts this video in, and all of a sudden, it's Tony naked sitting on the couch, like dead center. And I'm like, I look at Scott, I'm like, "Dude, we got to get the fuck out of there." He goes, "Dude, it's cool." I'm like, "No, this is fucking weird." You know, like, you know, we're like probably 20. Scott's probably 22. I'm 24. I'm like, "Dude, what the?" And all of a sudden, some girl comes into the picture, you know?
Oh, man.
But he's got us watching his homemade porn. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, weird.
In front of him.
He's like, he's like touching you at the same time. Like, wait, watch. It's going to get good. He's like,
"Get
the fuck away from me, dude."
And he had a fucking hog leg. I mean, his dick was the size of his forearm. We were like,
"Oh my god,
what?" Like, it was fuck. It was fucking
like what? Like, what's wrong with you?
Hold on, let's wait a minute.
I'll tell you one thing. You guys ever
disappear?
Is everyone here familiar with the chat roulette?
No.
Okay, so I've had two experiences with chat roulette. Real experiences with chat roulette. Chat roulette is this thing you do online where you can go. You go on, it activates your camera, they see you, and it's like a roulette where you just get random people seeing you and you seeing them, and then if you want to move on, you hit the space bar. So
isn't it just dudes jacking off?
A couple, well, I'm getting
like
to that.
Oh, like it goes to the clip.
Sorry, no. I didn't mean to step on your neck right now.
Oopsie
doodles.
I don't really know what that means, but okay, I get it. My neck. Oh, yeah, I get it. So I was like, the first time we did it, I saw the future. And it was so profoundly fucking disturbing. We're over there, and we're at our friend of ours' house, and we're all sitting around watching it, and someone's like, let's get fucking Fayella on the chat roulette. This will be hysterical. And then they put me on the computer, and I'm sitting kind of where I'm sitting now, right? And the thing comes on, and the first thing is just some dude swinging his dick in a circle.
No way.
The helicopter move.
Dude, full
Everybody's
helicopter.
Everybody's done that, right? And if I had a dick, I'd be doing the helicopter too.
Yeah.
I do. I could do an unimpressive version of that. Maybe it's less of a helicopter and more of a just a, like a motorboat.
When you're young more and of a full propeller. Of energy, you do a lot of that shit. More of
mine's like a frother.
My husband still does the helicopter. A little bit
more like one of those whip things that you put in a drink.
He does.
Would you like that whipped? Here you go. Let me get that for you. Yeah. So
Mike's got the froth covered.
So the froth.
My chat roulette would just be cats in costumes.
I know. Your cat feed is insane. What? Okay, what happened? Let me just, more dicks?
This is crazy. So this dude swinging the pin. Boom. You hit the bar, right? Like we all are like, ah, I got to hit the bar. The next person is essentially me in 10 years. And it's he's sitting over where you're sitting. He's, you know, diagonally across from me. And I'm wearing a plaid shirt. He's wearing a plaid shirt.
What?
I got a big beard. He's got a big white beard. Da da da. He's got, but it's me. It's like he's like 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
And we both just look at each other like this. It was like a full fucking looper moment. And just both immediately like, no. And it was so trippy.
What, Miss Gary? Or Miss Gary?
I'm back, pre-internet.
Back to your Hessian stepdad.
Yeah.
What was growing up with a stepdad who's in the Hessians? Like, that must have been nuts.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, because he was a mechanic, and he used to build monster trucks and restore old cars.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, sure. he was really cool. My parents tried to... He was, like, the only parent that I really had. My mom hooked up with him when I was about 16, but at that point, I was already emancipated from her and living with my older boyfriend, and I didn't really know him at first, but he became, over the years, like a parental figure.
Yeah.
And my parents tried to teach me how to do drugs in
moderation. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my mom liked her screwdrivers, and she would do a little bit, like a little line here and there. At one point when I was 14, we had the same drug dealer.
Oh, wow.
But I just never had that moderate gene.
Yeah, for sure.
And so they tried to show me, like, you can get high and drink and still go to work every day. And then he and I just, like, he would pick me up from work and we'd go to the bar and we'd smoke speed and then he'd go to bed. And then I'm just, like, just in my room vibrating, just like, I got to get more and, like, run off, you know?
Yeah,
I
for sure.
He was really, really cool. And
no, it's a trip, though. I grew up around some biker culture. My oldest brother was in a motorcycle club for a long time. And there's, like, two layers of those dudes, or there's two types of those guys. There's the ones that have, like, a house and a garage and a bunch of tools and a bunch of cool projects and cars and boats.
Yeah,
and
he's like that.
And they're, like, a machinist or they have a good job. And they party, but they don't let it get too out of line, which is crazy. And they don't, like, super judge you for not partying, like, or for partying. Like, obviously, he was partying with you when you were, like, young. They kind of, like, have that, like... free late 60s, early 70s, like, everyone should fucking party.
Hotel California.
But they really don't like it when you steal from them and when you start shooting drugs and, like, start going to jail. And then he was like, I'm not even going to pick you up from jail this time.
Yeah.
It's also impossible. Yeah.
He had to pull a gun on me to get me out of the house at one point, and they cut me off completely, which led to a year and a half of full-blown homelessness. Like,
Jesus.
I lived in the bushes.
Jesus.
Full-blown homelessness.
In Santa Ana?
In La Habra, Anaheim.
Oof.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It's probably extra hard for people like that, right, who are, like, kind of command, like, have this weird management or some weird middle ground where they're, like, turning up for work or whatever, but still partying. But
well, they still have those conversations, like the bikers that I grew up with around the corner from my house. They'd be like, hey, youngster, you got to kind of get shit under control, man. Like, it's cool to party, but and you just don't hear those conversations.
Yeah. No, I was so angry. They had a trailer in the front yard that they used to take on camping trips. And I would be like, why can't I just live in this trailer?
Yeah.
Why do you keep kicking me out of this house?
Yeah.
And they're like, you won't stop sticking needles in your arm and
that's
stealing
big,
from us.
That's
and
a big line in
I'm
the
like,
sand
I'm like, but you guys
them.
Fucking get high. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, years later, like, he knew me sober.
Yeah.
I mean, they got divorced, but it was a...
Does he still live in Orange County?
I don't know where he lives. I can't find him.
Oh.
I would love to, especially since my mom passed, but, you know, I'd like to thank him for being the only father that didn't, you know...
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. A lot of times the line in the sand for those type of dudes is the needles. That's like where you're just like, they're because those, the other type of bikers that I've been around that fuck around like that, that are like crazy outlaw criminals and slamming
dope. They weren't outlaw bikers.
They kind of just, it's
they were just my family. I mean, I got sober and like I would go to the big Easter party, which was this huge thing that we always did every year. And I think I was right around, I just turned two because it was an Easter party and my sobriety date at the time was Valentine's Day. And they're like, well, what have you been doing? We haven't seen you in a long time. And I told them, I'm like, I work in a laboratory. I draw blood now. Like, I've turned it around. Like, that's
a meth laboratory.
No. You know.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
No, I turned a liability into a major asset there. I've been paying my own bills for 22 years on that. Like, and so they're like, so you don't get high anymore? I'm like, no, I just took 2 years. And they're like, do you want some speed?
Oh, wow.
It was so instant. Like, oh, you haven't been high in 2 years, you poor thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I had to go to my mom. Hey, mom, because I still couldn't drive. I couldn't drive for my first 5 years.
Oh, wow. 5 years.
Yeah. They took, for every felony, they took my license away for a year.
What?
No way.
Yeah, they did.
'97,
I got five felonies, five separate charges in '97.
Were you like in a crash and like all kinds of shit like that?
My arrests are so stupid.
Mine too. Some of them.
My arrests were so stupid. So this was pre-internet. So you just, like I said earlier, like you just, you did things based on the information that you were given.
Yeah.
Okay, so they told me because like I was homeless and so they these other crystal meth enthusiasts, they're like, if you just go to the welfare office, they'll give you motel vouchers. And I was like, that's way better than the park.
Yeah.
So I shot a bunch of speed on the bus and walked into the welfare office high as shit. And they searched my purse and arrested me right there.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't get any food stamps. I didn't get any hotel vouchers, which were really
you got a hotel voucher, but it was not the place you wanted to be.
You could only, what I found out later is that only the city of Compton was giving out hotel vouchers. But I was not going to Compton. I got, you know, drug diversion, drug charges, just dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I once got transferred from Orange County Jail to LA County Jail. And that was a fun night. So I get transferred in and I'm wearing the short little skirt that I got arrested in. And I'm like going through all these different like booking centers and immediately like catch the eye of the hot trustee. And he gives me his phone number. And I was like, oh, okay, I still got it, even though I've been in jail for 5 days. And so I'm up in Twin Towers. And going through their loop, which was quite different from Orange County Jail. Quite different. And finally, I'm waiting in line, to use the phone. And and as soon as I like get on the phone to call my mom, this woman, this African-American woman, I was on for maybe 1 minute. And she slammed the phone down and said, you're done, white bitch, you know, and that whole thing. And so they had to separate us because we were getting heated.
Oh, wow.
And so hours and hours later, moving from tank to tank to tank, finally get up into the whatever. What's the tank? The big tank.
The day rooms.
Yeah, where they have like two-person cells.
Yeah, the pod, I think it's called,
right, Keith? I cannot get my finger off that call button. I was that bitch. Like pressing the button, when am I going to get a bet? When am I going to get a sandwich? I was the...
Were people telling you, sit the fuck down, bitch, shut the fuck up?
Yeah, but I just started getting felonies, so I was like brand new. I was, I think 22, 23 years old. I was so stupid. And again, all my information was from other people that were like-minded and not the brightest freaking bulbs, okay? So finally, I get assigned a cell, and guess who's in my cell?
Her.
That black girl. Oh,
and she just starts running her mouth, but... My ex-boyfriend that used to beat the shit out of me used to send me to karate classes, and he was black belt, and I beat the shit out of her. And
did you?
Yeah, I did. I did that push-up with the palm of your hand where you break somebody's nose. Oof. And she didn't do shit after that. So it was like, bitch.
Yeah, you're like, done. Don't
okay,
tell
so that's done.
Nothing.
So I'm there for a few days, and they send me on the dry runs or whatever. The dry runs.
Did you get the burritos
downy
when you came back from court?
No, bologna. The bologna that stunk.
No, when you come back to LA
County. I've never got a burrito. You guys talk about that.
Yeah,
I've never gotten
a burrito.
That's before. That's after my time, I guess. I honestly, I'm a little bit resentful at you for that.
It's the most luxurious experience.
The look on your face right now when you were just like, I never got the burritos.
You know what I did get?
Like, what happened? I got that was lame.
I did get stripped and cavity searched on the roof of LA County Jail. And a year later, I got to be part of a class action lawsuit because that was not supposed to happen to a 23-year-old girl in front of male officers. But I had no idea.
Did you get some money?
I got
$600.
$600?
I mean, squatting and coughing? Shit, I didn't get nothing.
If I would have gotten picked to be on that jury, I would have been picked to testify, I would have gotten six figures. And that would have killed
me. Is that right?
For sure. Yeah. They said, if we pick you to testify, you write this letter back and you fill in all the things of what happened. And I was like, I told my mom because she goes, you got to get over here. I got this letter from LA County Jail. There's a class action lawsuit. And I was like, huh? And on the letter, it said, did this, or this happen? And I'm checking off all the boxes.
And it was
like,
because they strip searched you guys on the roof?
Stripped and cavity searched on the roof in front of male officers.
Oh,
they penetrated me.
Dude, I seen them do the most foul shit in that jail.
And I didn't know that, you know, I just started going to jail. I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to, I mean, please, I didn't really care about my body to begin with, but.
But that, yeah, because you're always squatting and coughing.
Yeah.
But also, man, that shit doesn't do shit either. This essay came down from the joint one time into the county when I was there. He came down for a case and he shit out 7 packs of Camels.
Holy shit.
Shorts, but still.
Those are still this. That's still like.
Soft pack or hard pack?
That's still like 2. It's Comcast remote controls for cable. That's like
almost
2.
A carton of cigarettes.
Well, you know.
7 pack. I know what you probably do. You wrap them up. We've talked. You wrap them up and you put them in a dowel, right? Or you put them in whatever shape.
You put them in a rubber glove. Usually you can get them in.
And then it's whatever best shape sits in the.
Well, it's a short pack of Camel, so no filters. You know, it's a soft pack.
Yeah.
So you mold them into the shape of like a cigar or a penis, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, and then. But he's 7 packs.
He's very
like,
fortunate.
7 packs of
cigarettes.
Yeah,
it was like a fucking clown car.
He's very fortunate to have been able to get those out.
Like, that is.
Medically.
Yeah. Those could have gone all the way up. 7 packs of cigarettes
your body will eat them.
Together. You're talking about, that's at least a foot of that's
I mean,
a
some of them were
cigarettes.
Probably riding tandem. I don't think they were all like back
to back.
Oh,
maybe they
back. It wasn't one tube.
Right.
Bort they were coming out in separate closets.
It wasn't one tube just way up at the bottom of his ribs.
No.
God damn it. I'm sorry.
Dude. I never knew I was going to jail.
I was
never able to fully prepare.
Thank God. Because I would have been ripped apart.
The one time, it's funny you were talking about losing your job for being innocent. Excuse me.
Just that once.
I've been to Orange County Jail in the 80s. I mean, Orange County Juvenile Hall in the 80s. And I was like, because I was going to like Los Padrinos here and shit, which isn't the worst of the LA County ones. Central's the worst by far. But I went to that Orange County Juvenile Hall, and it was just like going to fucking Newport Beach. And I'm like, man, these motherfuckers got it made.
I had a very different experience.
And then
I had a fight.
In Orange County?
Yeah. In the juvenile hall. Not in the jail. In the jail, I was beloved.
But I got busted as an adult when before I started going to the joint and shit. I'd already been to the LA County, but I got no warrant. I don't know if you ever remember this. Like, it must have been 1990 or something, 89 or 90, but it was July 4th at Newport when everybody rents the beach out and shit.
Yeah.
But dude, we're all partying or whatever and fuck it. And I wasn't even really that fucked. I had a slight buzz. You know what I mean? But we're all partying and people are fucking walking. You know what I mean? The whole fucking typical like Newport
people
summer
are fighting
thing.
And getting crazy and being loud.
Yeah, but
and
dude,
aggro.
It, I don't remember what time. It was like 2 or 3 p.m. Cops came from everywhere and arrested almost everybody out.
Wow.
Like, and there was dudes undercovers who were walking around like nerdy, like looking like, you know, nerdy.
With ghetto blasters on their shoulders. Like,
no, headphones and shit. No, super nerdy. Like they were walkers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. But, you know, once they came, because they pulled badges out and they were with all the regular cops. And they fucking hook a bunch of us up. Well, they arrested these girls next door for throwing water balloons. You know, people riding bikes by. They're just having fun. But they came and arrested all the girls. I just went out on the beach and I sat there, right? But I think because I had a fucking mohawk. Because they come and get me and they're like, you're arrested for hurling, throwing water balloons and shit. I'm like, I didn't throw no fucking water balloons. They take me in or whatever. There's so many of us. It was crazy. And it took us this like, I don't know if it was a city jail. It was definitely a jail, but it was big holding
city jail, yeah.
But it was just big holding, no cells. But dude, the funniest shit about it is like we're all, I mean, it's packed. We're all in there, and like every 20 minutes, dude, the the door would open, and it was just like all typical, like Newport, like long haired, like surfer dudes, all of them running, holding their dick because everybody had to pee from drinking all morning, like fighting for the bathroom. So we get out the same day. We got out in like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. That's just a moneymaker for Newport Beach. Yeah. They just fucking, yeah.
So we go back, and then I'm talking to the girls next door who are upstairs. They let their boyfriends stay because there was kids, but they arrested the girls. And I went up there, and I'm like, fuck, what the fuck was that? You know, because they were throwing wine. And they go, dude, they go, they knew you didn't do it. I go, what? While they were arresting those girls, they were like, how'd you like to arrest that fucking asshole with the mohawk? Another guy goes, I'd love to do it. And blah, blah, blah. They knew I was innocent. They're just dirty.
Yeah.
They're fucking liars.
They don't like fucking, they don't like people that don't look like people from Newport Peninsula.
Yeah.
The cops don't.
Yeah. You know, and then I refused to go to court because I was innocent. Typical shit. Got cuffed, sent to the LA County, got out. You know what I mean?
You went to Orange County jail?
No, LA County.
Oh.
They picked me up on the warrant, but then they released me because it's for fucking throwing. It's actually an assault charge.
No, I was at a house in the Shores, like Fern Street, right by like Big Belly Deli and all that shit.
Yeah.
And these buddies of mine that I grew up with in Corona, they were super fucking crazy alcoholic partiers, but they worked and held it down. They were just like, they were the first crew of us like that grew up in Corona that were like, we're fucking moving to the beach. You know what I mean? And so we all went down there, would party all the time. And it was 4th of July. They had this upstairs place. And my buddies that I grew up with were just like, they were fucking heathens, man. Like they were just out of control. They wanted to fight or fuck, or just fuck something up all the time. You know what I mean? And so they're living in this house, and it was like the middle of the day. Like, it might have been the third, not even the fourth yet, you know? And they just started talking shit to some other neighbors, and the next thing you know, one of them throws a bottle off the balcony. It shatters everywhere. Cops turn the corner, and they start throwing bottles at the cops. And next thing you know, the fucking whole house just gets completely swarmed. A helicopter. We run up. Me and my girlfriend hide on the roof. The helicopter's like, you know, it's just whatever. It's crazy. 4th of July down Newport. It's like boring story, really, because it's so.
I always get the impression, and please clarify this for me a little bit. I'm trying, you know, like, I've been out. I have a weird thing. I don't leave Los Angeles, and I've been out here for about 26 years. I've been to the OC. I went to a couple of, like, you know, bars in the OC once or twice, like, and I was like, this seems just very white. And a little aggressive. It felt a little bit more fratty, a little bit.
Yeah,
but
that's
true. I don't really know, like, what is that vibe?
But that's
like,
the
that doesn't sound like throwing bottles.
It's different. I mean, Orange County has a bunch of different cities.
There's so many
where I came
vibes,
up in
right?
La Habra, like, we could do whatever we wanted, and we had, like, you know, everybody knew us. The cops even knew us. Officer Mitchell, I just found him on Facebook, and I thanked him for every time he picked us up and gave us a ride home. Even if we were frying, even if we were drunk, they would never arrest us. Like, it was a small town kind of situation.
Was it still Orange Groves and shit? There was, right?
Yeah. Weird Satan worship.
And what's
shit
the big appeal? Newport Beach, right?
Newport Beach and Huntington are known to be, like, the cops are known to be fucking headbreakers.
Yeah,
like,
straight up.
But that's completely different than where she's from.
Okay.
Like, it's most of it, most of Orange County is working class, if it's not on the coast, right?
I spread myself around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
spread your hustle.
Going down to Huntington for the OP pros and falling face first in front of a cop with a full cup, a big gulp cup, a Southern Comfort.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The cop helped me up. I didn't spill my drink and I didn't get arrested. And that was incredible.
Yeah.
During the OP pros. And it's just, I think it's because it's a tourist town and it's affluent. They want to keep out any riffraff at all. Plus, you know,
but there's shitloads
like
of Nazis in Huntington, right?
For sure.
Yeah, still, right?
Still.
That's been since the 50s.
Like Nazis.
Neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
We just got rid
of Rohrabacher.
Yeah, I watched an episode and a half of that thing.
Well, did you see the video of that when Trump got elected?
I thought you were talking about something. Okay.
When Trump got elected, like, all those big fucking Nazi peckerwoods were like on the
down
corner
at the beach.
Of like, fuck Trump.
Coming to the punk rock show and bashing heads and
because
we had some beach shows down there.
But listen, this big fucking giant wood with like a bunch of ink and like board shorts and like fucking a hat on, like, you know, he's like, fuck Trump at the corner, like all hype, screaming out Trump. There was like people that were like protesting the decision in the election. And then there was like a crew of like kind of like not like Huntington skins, not skins, but like Nazis. And this dude turns over to this Mexican guy, and he's like, "Fuck, you fix my fucking tortilla!" Like,
oh, no, that guy worked for the OC Weekly.
Are you serious?
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that, what?
Yeah.
That Gustavo Arellano.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, that's yeah. Fucked he's up. The guy that writes Ask a Mexican, but yeah. now the magazine's done.
Is it?
Yeah, it's done. That dude was super badass. They had their last issue like 2 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that magazine was like one of the few little veins of culture. But what I was going to say about what you were saying about it seeming super fratty, and it's like that in Newport, like on the peninsula, like the mainstream bars and the mainstream scene and a lot of the families that live down there that
own
homes.
My dad owns a dealership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
It feels a lot like, yeah.
But there's also layers like really close to their like,
a lot of Karens.
Costa Mesa, there's a lot of like cool culture, music culture.
Costa Mesa's great.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the scene. But yeah, down there in the, that kind of like right there, the little Orange Curtain is definitely like, it's a different trip.
Huntington, I think, is like the coolest fucking beach. It's just like, it's just got an underbelly, you know, but it's,
yeah,
it's fucking cool, man. The little downtown area, the beach itself.
Was it Arthur Huntington or Walter Huntington? He was one of the carpetbaggers that came to California.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's one of the there's the original
just robber billionaire Baron titan.
Yeah. He's one of those
what
demons.
What were the carpetbaggers?
Like Mulholland. Where they come in and, you know, rape the land and just,
oh,
you know,
is
and
that
then
what
bail.
Carpetbaggers
yeah.
were?
Yeah. They'd come from another place and steal up all the resources.
Oh, and these come in and just
start
fucking
a monopoly.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you another thing
down.
That people don't talk about enough is like, I'm telling you something. Beach areas are violent. People are violent at all beach areas.
Really?
Yes. Like Hawaiians can all fight fucking well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's fucking some of the most violent dudes I've ever met are from like fucking Hermosa, Huntington.
Dude, it's always true that the least
I don't know what
chill places, the least chill people gravitate to the most chill places. Like beach people can be such a pain. We're looking at Charlie's just like, the fuck you talking about? See,
well,
but
no,
that's
but
the look they give you.
The
punk
rock
scene. You gotta roll on Charlie. Yeah.
The punk rock scene was all a bunch of like fucking, you know, art lanes, like, you know, but artsy people into film and painting and
no,
shit.
But everybody gets nervous
well,
because
you're talking
got
about,
ruined by
you're
beach
talking,
bands.
You're
talking
about
Laguna,
Devo
like,
and shit. You're talking about like Devo and bands
well,
like that.
Well, the weirdos
right?
and the Go-Go's and all that shit,
yeah,
right?
Right.
That was all
right.
through the '70s, and then in like 1980 is like the fucking Circle Jerks, TSOL, yep. all these bands that were fucking. That's where the violence
extremely
came in.
Violent, yeah.
Extremely violent.
Yeah,
the Circle One guys, they're from fucking Hermosa or Redondo, you know what I mean?
Like, suicidal tendencies.
Suicidal tendencies.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I've been at shows where their fucking crew would show up, man. They would start going the wrong way in the pit, like 12 of them, fucking
oof.
Just wiling out. I went to a Free Bad Religion show at the Palladium one year, and they just came in and just fucking, yeah, it was gnarly.
The wrong way in the pit, just the surprise.
Yeah.
Just the hello surprise.
Just 12 of them, like all in a nice tight little row going the wrong way in the pit. Like, fuck you. Let's
fuck
get
you.
Some.
That's a bummer.
You know, it's super crazy. But the punk rock scene in Orange County was dope.
It was great.
It saved my life.
Right?
It saved my, those fucking punk rockers, man, from the Wednesday night 6:30 meeting, man. They, none of them wanted to be my friend, but they had me come to all their shows.
Yeah.
They've been friends of mine for decades.
That's
and
awesome.
They just got me out of the house and got me to do everything I talked about doing when I was sitting in a garage with a needle in my arm. Like, I always wanted to go to shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did
and,
it.
And bands specifically, you're talking about like the Tramps,
Smut Peddlers,
Throw Rag.
Oh, fuck. Throw Rag.
Yeah, yeah. That
Throw
takes
Rag.
A trip.
I grew up with Throw Rag. Like, they made so much happen. For me.
Really?
They gave me my side job that I had for 2 decades of selling t shirts at Throw Rag shows.
Throw Rag shows.
Which led to so many other things, like going on tour with X and just.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, indeed. Like,
you went
what?
On tour with X?
And I just got to sit behind John Doe and Nixine and listen to them tell stories.
Like, oh.
I would
God.
Switch vans because John and Xene wouldn't travel in the same van.
Oh,
because
they were married at one time, right?
Yeah, they were married a long time.
Did you ever see
ago.
That fucking scene in Boogie Nights where the dude at the end is divorcing the red-haired, what is Julia? What is her name?
Juliana Moore.
Yeah, that guy that's divorcing her in the mediation.
That's John Doe.
That's fucking John Doe from X.
He plays a dick in a lot of movies.
Yeah, he's like,
but
she's
you know
a
what?
Fucking porn star and a drug addict. And they had a kid and stuff. It was gnarly. It was a gnarly scene.
Yeah, Throw Rag and Manic and Cadillac
Manic
Tramps
Hispanic.
And
that was Gabby from the Tramps' other little side band that was kind of more like funny kind of where they did like these
old that yeah. Flock of Goo Goo. I mean, I got a call from Steve Soto one time. Here's that confidence that comes out of nowhere. Steve Soto calls me up and says, "Hey Mary, I hear that you know how to do the Thriller dance." I was like, "Who told you that?" He goes, "Kevin Higgins told me that. He said you did it at his wedding." And I go, "I did, but everybody was drunk and they just did whatever I could remember from the Thriller dance." And he goes, "Well, we got a show coming up at Alex's on Halloween, and we want you to do the Thriller dance at the Flock of Goo Goo show." And I was like, "It's fucking Steve Soto, the nicest guy in punk rock, asked yeah. me to do the Thriller dance. Well, I'm going to do it." And I had 4 days to learn it. And so I'm practicing. Yeah, I'm practicing at work. I'm practicing at home. People are walking by in my apartment. They see me doing this shit inside, and I'm huge. I'm bigger than I am now. And it's terrible. Yeah. But I told Steve Soto that I would do it. And I get up on stage with all these fat guys. Like, it's like a whole band of enormous people. And Alex's is a small bar. And I get up there and I start and I'm like, no, we have to start again. I totally stopped the show. I said, "Run it again." Did the best version of the Thriller dance that I could do with about 4 feet.
Yeah.
And it killed. Everybody was stoked.
I remember, wasn't Gabby's uncle, like big cholo dude with the brocha mustache in that band? Or he was in Manic.
It wasn't Sonny, wasn't his uncle.
But he was like, looked like he might have been Gabby's uncle, right?
Right.
Old dude, big
Gabby
brocha
had a
mustache.
Lot of relatives.
And he's like, he was like a backup singer. He's singing on the side of the stage. And he's like, there's a mic and he's like going, "Ow, wow," and putting his mouth around the tip.
Speaking of
Gabby,
when
goes,
he said Big Hyenas.
Yeah, Gabby goes, "You learned that in prison."
Gabby was quick to whip a motherfucker's ass too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh yeah. Quick. Oh yeah. He would come over all the time and just bark on my cats and just do all kinds of weird shit.
Hey, Reno, you had a story you wanted to share. Remember you said? I'm trying to remember what it was about.
You had one too, to remind you of.
Yeah, and you also had...
One that came to mind was talking about when I did acid in high school at my house and a bunch of cheerleaders had to get picked up by their parents by the cops when he talked about getting rides home on acid.
Oh, God.
That's kind of a funny story.
And you also said you have a list. What's on your list?
Oh, what's on my list? What's on the list? You want to see what's on the list?
These nuts.
These nuts.
But yeah, some more of those Orange County bands.
What did gay horses eat?
Hey.
No, dicks.
Oh shit!
Harsh.
Like we got to bleep that.
No, it's beautiful. No. What do you?
No one.
Well, yeah. Well, you pick.
I'll pick.
Oh, me pick. I'll pick.
Oh, those are your stories.
All right. Yeah. I will Woo! Pick. Watch me.
Does one say massage?
I want to talk about free pizza.
I can't read. I want to hear about Stalker.
Well, I already told a lot. We already talked about stalker stuff, throwing a brick through the window and chasing that guy down.
That's light stalker.
Yeah,
though.
Come here, like, I'm gonna fuck that dick.
All right, how about free pizza?
That was like Miss Elliot last week.
Yeah.
I've gotten a ridiculous amount of free pizza in my lifetime. One of my hustles, because sleep is for the weak and work is for the unimaginative. And I was never the type of person that would panhandle. I always had some weak ass hustle.
Yeah, me too.
It was
too.
Like always weak.
But it was better than panhandling.
Yeah, I wouldn't panhandle. Yeah, that's it. You know, I would hang out outside the Long's Drugs in La Habra and go through the trash bins, because back in the day, you could, if somebody paid with a credit card, you could use that credit card number. So you could call in pizzas with stolen credit cards and use those to get calling cards or pass those around jail or whatever. But we had an unlimited, like when I said, "Hey, can I come stay at your house? I don't have a job or anything, but I can promise you pizza every day." I remember answering we'd order pizza, me and this chick, I think she's dead now, but she...
They're like Jerome Castle.
We would order pizza and we'd have no money and we would just answer the door naked and get free pizza.
No way.
Every single time. It never failed.
Are you serious?
It never failed. Back in the day when I had
a
free pizza naked worthy body. Back before my boobs were real long. They were up high and pointed forward, right where they were supposed to go. And you would just answer the door and get free pizza.
What drugs were you doing then?
Mostly meth.
Oh, nice. Is meth your drug of choice, Mary?
The first time around, yeah. And I thought Yeah, it was so bad. You know, when I got sober, it was so bad. And it was, I won't say it was easy. I mean, it got easier the longer I stayed sober, but I was like, oh, I'm just going to be sober for the rest of my life. I am never going back to the skinhead scene. I mean, the everything that I had to do to get high every day. Like, I had to get that $36 to get that motel room. And then I had to get something on top of that, because if I fell asleep, my friends would have sex with me because they were so nice. You know, like,
that's fucking
all
terrible.
That stuff. Like, getting sober and staying sober was kind of easy when it was, like, that bad. And so I got clean off of meth and alcohol, I guess, but mostly meth. Yeah. I stayed sober for 10 years.
You're a purist.
Yeah. Well, not really. I was kind of a dumpster, but when I relapsed, it snuck up on me with the painkillers.
Oh, me
too. So that relapse after my 10 years, there was a prelapse. There was like a lot of stuff that went down that I got to look at with a clear mind and see, like, oh, this, and then this. Of course you relapsed. And those painkillers got a hold of me so fucking fast that, like, I had like surgery and they gave me Norco and I pissed my pants and I didn't care. And I was like, well, I'm just going to do this forever. And since I worked in the medical field, I had unlimited access to the cabinets, the prescription pads.
Oh, shit.
So by the time I got arrested in August of 2012, shit, I got arrested at the Ralph's Pharmacy, but I had prescriptions at Ralph's, Walmart, Stater Brothers, Save-On, CVS, everywhere. And it was for 180 to 360 pills that I was picking up every 2 days. So
no,
I was,
way.
Yes way.
Fuck.
But they only got me when I tried to refill early to help. I was coming out to LA to help my little rock star friend kick heroin. But if I was going to leave my house for 3 days, I needed extra pills.
Uh-huh.
And so I tried to fill early and they're like, it'll just be a minute. And I was sitting in my car and the cops pulled up behind me.
Oh, shit.
And they blocked me in and I was like, fuck, the jig is up.
Yeah.
And I was relieved. And then it was like this big thing, like, who's going to arrest her? I had Costa Mesa PD there and Newport Beach PD there. So the crime was committed in Newport Beach at the doctor's office that I worked at. But the prescription was filled in Costa Mesa. So they were arguing about it. I told
them. On 17th? You were right there on 17th?
Yeah, right there. Oh, I just shopped there yesterday and had a flash of that. I like always want to go in there and thank the pharmacist, but I can't.
Yeah.
I just, something pulls me back. Like, they're not going to remember that they saved my life, but I don't, my ego doesn't need that.
Yeah.
And I was relieved. Instantly, they let me text my husband, and he lit up the phone tree, like set it on fire.
Yeah,
and
he knew you were loaded, though, right?
Nope.
He
nobody
didn't know you were
loaded? Knew. Nobody.
Holy shit!
Knew. Nobody knew except this one guy that was in my favorite band, and every time I would go see him, I would give him some pills, and he would give me some pills.
Yeah,
you know,
you had your pill buddy.
I had my pill buddy.
Yeah,
and like when another band came around town, like I'd, you know, make them cupcakes and sprinkle the top with Darvocets. You know?
No way.
Pink, yeah. And here's a little present. It's fine. I'm, you know, I work in the medical field. Like, yeah. I have access to these. Like,
Darvos are legit.
But like, you were like, I don't take them, but here you guys can party. Yeah. It's
yeah.
So, funny.
So nobody knew. And so I told the cops exactly, they wanted the prescription pad. And so I gave it to them. Had they searched my car, they would have found all the other pharmacies, but they only had me for Ralph's. So they gave me one count of commercial burglary and 9 counts of fraud.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So they said, you're going to prison. And I was like, I guess I'm going to prison. And everybody in jail was like, well, do you have any drugs? And I'm like, no. And so I kicked in jail.
Oh.
Which was wonderful because all my husband's family, they're all fucking Orange County sheriffs that work at the jail.
Shit.
None of them were there. Every slip that I put in to see a nurse was ignored. So I kicked in jail, and being old school and having had people kick at my house, and I was a bitch when they kicked at my house. If I caught you sleeping, I'd kick you out.
No way.
I'm like, fucking, you're not kicking. You're sleeping. Get the fuck out of my house.
No way.
Yeah, wow. I was gnarly. I knew. I'd fucking come up and been sober with like the old school heroin addicts.
Yeah.
I knew. If you're sleeping, you ain't kicking. Get the fuck out. You're not going to burn a hole in my couch for nothing. You're going to stay sober,
for
motherfucker.
Real.
You
for
know,
real.
Like, you get a Benadryl and a Midol and that's it, you little bitch.
Anytime,
it came time for me to kick, I was like, I'm going to beat off through this. I can masturbate with no hands.
Oh, shit.
So in jail, I just literally rubbed, like, constantly masturbate it. Self-soothing. Great, right?
Yeah.
Calm the heart rate down. I would only eat apples or applesauce because it was Orange County Jail, and they offer you a lot of apple options.
Really?
I'm like, apples will induce constipation. Because
apple flambé and shit. All fancy.
I was shitting but blood and bile. It was gnarly. And like my heart was racing, and I was like, I'm fucking keeping this sobriety date. I'm keeping it. I haven't had one in 4 years. I'm keeping it. And I got out of jail and I made a couple calls and I went to treatment, which is bullshit.
Where'd you go to treatment at?
First I called Paul.
Yeah.
First I called Paul and I called Velvet. Velvet didn't call me back. Paul called me back and said, Gary, I don't have any room at my men's house, at my woman's house, but you can come to the men's house. I'll let you live there.
So you went to the men's house?
No. I went to a meeting and I saw Velvet. And she took one look at me and gave me a scholarship to save forever.
Oh, nice.
So I said, I need the weekend. I know a lot of people tell you that, but I need the weekend. I'm going away for 3 months. I need to pay my rent. I need to
get
my car smog.
Quick question
just for the folks at home. What brings on the bile and blood shits?
Well, I mean, when you're taking 10 Norco every 3 hours,
okay,
you're really causing a lot of harm to your liver and kidneys. So they're not able to process all the other stuff that's in there to deal with the Tylenol.
Boom.
I worked myself up too. I have a similar story in that when I was sober with you guys down in Orange County and I had 7 years, air quotes, I had the best paying job of my life at the time. Like, was traveling, was super functional, was writing, you know, $18 to $20 million a year in business, managing like a national business with Nordstrom. I was all over the place, and I was eating 50 Norco a day.
Yeah, it's easy.
It was fucking crazy.
It's easy how fast it happens.
It really is. Like, the opioid crisis, direct line to heroin. Like, that's, there's just no, like, that shit, you just keep taking it. You need more, and you need more, and you need more. And it's intense, man.
So this time around, there was nothing coming between me and that sobriety date, even 5 years in prison. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, my husband had lit up the phone tree, and I got the public defender telling me, you're going to prison for 5 years. There's no way around this. And so I'm just trying to go into, okay, I'll go to prison. I won't do that whole time. Like, it's fine. I know how to fight.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. Yeah. I can carry a message. I have a sobriety date. Like, that's really all I cared about. And I went into radical acceptance. I didn't want to be bailed out. I didn't want anybody to have to deal with any more of my shit, because I'd been sober before, so I know how to be like, okay. And what I didn't know is that when I finally got my court date, 10 members showed up for me.
Oh, wow.
Julie came down from LA.
Oh, wow.
Everybody was there. The judge saw two things. There was 15 years between crimes and that I had people.
Yeah.
And she says, she's going home. Let's see what she does.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, they put me on probation.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. So I go to treatment. I'm like, this is bullshit. I could run this better on the first day.
Yeah.
And like, people are there and they're like, oh, Gary, God damn it. Will you help me? I didn't mean to sleep with your brother, but he tricked me. They said, oh, do you work here now? I'm like, no. I'm just a client here, you know, and I went through that whole thing. And honestly, guys, I'll stay sober just to never have to go to group therapy again.
Oh,
yeah. That was stupid. I was like, they're making me talk about all this trauma shit. I'm like, I've been fucking healed from that for years. You know what my problem is? Norco.
Yeah.
I put some Norco in my body and now I can't function without it.
Yeah.
And now I don't have any Norco in my body. All of this is garbage.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
And I'm grateful I did it, but I have a whole nother community now.
That's amazing. She literally was like, you're going home.
Yeah. And then they're like, let's see what she does. And I should, lo and behold, you just shoot up and show up. I went to every court date on time and they said, bring some letters. I had 50 fucking letters, man.
Incredible.
50 fucking letters of, you know, if you ask, they'll show up. Even Gabby wrote me a letter. You know, it was terribly misspelled, but it was still a letter. You know what I mean?
Tag his body at the bottom.
I had to ask him a few times, you know, like, come on, Gabby.
Thanks for listening to another episode of It's All Bad, Home Quarantine Edition. Find us on Instagram at It Is All Bad. We're on YouTube. If you look up It's All Bad Podcast, you can email us. Please like and subscribe. Hey, you know what? One of the upsides to being at home on lockdown is you get to re-listen to every episode if you want.
Okay. That's right.
Shit.
We've been posting a lot of old clips, so go on YouTube, find the clip, share them with your friends.
Yeah, on Instagram. Yeah, the clips are great. I like them.
I'm trying to set up it's all bad rabbit hole. People that get lost.
And every Saturday night, Charlie will be stripping on Zoom.
Yeah. Right here.
Charlie has a prime time slot on Saturdays, but on Wednesday afternoon, right around third meal, you can watch me take some of my stuff off.
Uncle Ben style, huh?
Oh, Uncle Ben, just for that fragrant rice.
Yeah.
I'll take it off. I'll take something off.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys have any recommendations or notes for anyone who's are trying to look for meetings during this time?
Ooh, good. Oh.
It's crazy how many I went to a meeting in Boston. I've done a New York one. There's virtual directories on every single, like, if you just go to your local area, there's like virtual directories. I personally have one. If anybody wants the LA resource, like the digital whatever thing for all the digital meetings, you can reach out to the It's All Bad Instagram or email us at itisallbadpodcast@gmail.com. Did I get that right?
Fuck yeah.
Killed it.
And I'll share the Google Docs with you that has all of our LA meetings. It's kind of cool. Like, I hated it at first, and it's really grown on me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hit us up if you need anything, have any questions.
How was the Boston meeting, Danny? Was it nuts?
Dude, it was nuts. The Boston meeting was cool.
Was it?
Yeah, it was cool. A lot of accents.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm newly sober, and I can't believe this shit's happening. All the fucking meeting halls are closed. That's my best Boston accent.
That's pretty good.
Good, yeah.
But it was cool, you know? At first, I was really bummed out of this. I was really bummed out about like the online meetings and stuff, but it's really it's been saving my ass, you know?
Yeah.
I spoke at a meeting with Reno last week.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It was for Sasha, who should be coming on here soon, but it was cool because we spoke. It was like a conversation between two people. It's like the meeting's called Emotional Sobriety.
Yeah.
And you just have, it's like two people just having a conversation about emotional sobriety. So you're just like, so it's literally like me and Reno just talking shit for 20 minutes. Like,
no way.
Yeah. It was so funny. He's like, yeah, he's like, this feels like we're just doing the podcast with just the two of us, you know? And it was just us talking. But it was cool.
And are you guys, awesome. Like, do you find it like in these situations that it's kind of, that it stresses that system? Or like, how does that, you feel like, oh man, I wish I could get to him, you know, like.
At first, yeah. The first few days I kind of felt like that. And then now I'm just, I don't know. Like, really, I think it, like, Tony, my friend, was like, he's like, hey, you remember when you were like a corona denier 2 weeks ago, you know? And I wasn't a denier, you know, I was a bit a little reckless, you know? And I was like, man, whatever, this is, you know? And then, like, it kind of hit me where I was like, hey, for me to not be taking this thing, like, as seriously as others, you know, like, is very selfish of myself, you know, and I was like, I kind of like, we all just have to do our part, you know, we all just have to do our part to help one another. Especially now more than fucking ever, you know?
Well, it's slowing down in New York. They said
they did.
Yeah. Well, it was doubling patients every day and a half. Now it's doubling patients every 4 days. So it's on the decline.
Yeah, we're heading up the roller coaster, I think, out here. But if we keep it buttoned up, man, we might be okay. Like, do you know better than we had thought?
I mean, if we, you know what I mean, if we're not doing it better with all this warning, I mean, we're like the last ones.
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I know.
But we got like Charlie's friends licking toilet seats and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
no, dude, out there hitting
on elevator buttons. Just tell your fucking homies that's not cool, Charlie.
I told them, man. I don't know what they're doing.
Dude.
Yep.
Tara, my friend in New York, was telling me, she said that the kids in New York were going to LaGuardia and like rubbing their hands all over the bathrooms trying to get it to not go to school, and now they're dying to go to school.
Oh, fuck.
That's crazy.
No way. They were going to the airports and just like trying to rub shit to get sick.
Yeah. Did you guys see that Amazon delivery guy who coughed and rubbed it on the packages?
No.
It's on TMZ. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's like terrorism.
Yeah.
And he's like a 50-year-old dude. He's like my age. It's not like he's a kid. Well, there's no excuse anyway, but he like coughed and rubbed it all over the package.
What a fucking scumbag.
Yeah. But all right, cool. I got to go help with dinner. I'll see you guys soon.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Good to see everyone's faces.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
All right, peace. Now, later, guys. I'm going to end it. I'm ending it. All right.